So let's just open our Bibles to, I want us to start from the book of Revelation. Revelation, two scriptures there, Revelation 5, 9 and Revelation 7, 9. Revelation 7, 9 reads like this. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. It says, there before me was a multitude that no man could count. Are we not looking forward to that day? Where fellowship of people from every nation, every language, and every people before the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And that is the end picture. That is the end vision of what we want to see, isn't it? On the last day when we all stand before the Lord, from people from every language. And all of us will stand before the Lord and will praise Him on that day. And all we will do is just worship Him. And that is the desire of the Lord. That is the desire of God, that every nation and every people will get access to hear the gospel, hopefully in their lifetime, isn't it? So that they can also join us on that last day when we stand before the Lord and worship Him. And then when we look at Revelation 5, 9, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take a scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Jesus was slain, and with his blood he purchased for God persons from every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. So he did not just die for us, isn't it? He died for every people. Those are our brothers in Sudan, our brothers in Tunisia, our brothers in Sri Lanka, in Syria, and in Afghanistan. He died for each and every one of us, those people. And he purchased them with his blood. We sang one of the songs and says, you know, God gave his only son and he bled to die. Why? So that we can have fellowship with him, so that we can be his own. We can gather together here and worship him. But it is not just for us. It is for many, many other brothers across Africa and across the world who still have no access to the gospel. And now, Jesus, when he came and he was crucified and he resurrected, but before he ascended on high, he gave us a commission, making us aware that, yes, he died, but we need to make people all over aware of his death. We go to Matthew chapter 28. It's a common scripture that we read often. And I think I'll just jump into that. Matthew 28 from verses 18 to 20. Jesus went to the cross and he died for us. And he purchased from every nation, every people, everyone with his blood. It was not an easy death, isn't it? But he was willing to go through with it. It was painful. It was a painful, gruesome death at the cross. He died the death of a criminal. He who knew no sin became sin so that we may become the righteousness of God. Why? So that ultimately we may be able, every man can get to know that he died for us, for them, and have access to fellowship with him. 18 to 20 of Matthew, then Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. If we're going to give the title of what I want to talk about today, is called to make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. And it wasn't a commission. It wasn't a commandment to a selected few. It was a commandment to all of us. And it's beautiful. And we are here in this college, majority of us here training so that we can go and make disciples in our communities, right? In the different places where God has called us. Some of you are pastors already. You're making disciples in your local communities. But you see, the commission here is go to make disciples of who? Of all, right? Because in Revelation 5, 9, where we read, what does it say? He purchased who? All. With his blood, he purchased all peoples. So the gospel is for everyone, right? The guy, the Somali guy with the tuck shop in your community is running a spaza shop, isn't it? We need to start befriending him and share the gospel with him so that he may know that Christ died for him and know that God loves them and the people around us. And God is calling us also to take the gospel a little further than we are. In Mayfair here in Johannesburg, there are So many Somalis without access to the gospel. In Pretoria, so many nationalities of Indians, guys from Pakistan, without access to the gospel. And they're not far from us. And God is calling us as individuals to go to those people and give the gospel to them. And God is calling some of us here to go a little further into Africa, to other parts of the world with the gospel. Today's statistics show that there are at least 350 million people in Africa without access to the gospel. Completely closed out for the gospel. Completely unreached. Unreached means that they don't have enough Christians among them to actually evangelize those people. 350 million people. And God has blessed us with this heritage. We can worship Him. We can do a lot more with it. But God is calling us to do even more, to take this gospel to our brothers and sisters across the nations. And I'm reminded of those early patriots, that the early patriots and the early pioneers that came to Africa, and how they were willing to lay down their lives. You know, there are thousands of missionaries that came from the West to Africa to bring the gospel. Many of them, we don't know about them. Many of them, there's not a single biography written in their name. But they came because they believed that the African people need to hear the gospel. And here we are. We have access to the gospel. There's a story of Robert Moffat speaking at some point in London many, many years ago, over 100 years. And he was describing Africa as this. He said, Africa, darkness. Africa, darkness. That's how he could describe it. That's how David Livingstone felt the call to come to Africa, because he was hearing about thousands of villages covered with darkness. But right now, when we look at Africa, it's a different story. We see lots of light, isn't it? Yeah, the patches of darkness here and there, but there is a church in Africa is growing. 185 million evangelicals in Africa today. But now, our role has changed. We are no longer just the receivers of this gospel, but we are the ones who are supposed to take this gospel now to the remaining parts of Africa that are unreached with the gospel, and to the other parts of the world, and say, you also need to hear that Christ died for you. And we must be ready to pay the price, like those brothers and sisters who paid the price, who died, some within a week, some within two, many. Say 80% of them died within the first 2 years of coming to Africa. But they were still willing to come. The story of how some of them packed their clothes in coffins when they were coming to Africa. And they knew that the same coffin would carry their bodies back to Europe. But even though a body has been taken off that ship, many others are going into the next ship to Africa. They were not deterred. Why? Because they believe that coming to Africa and this us hearing the gospel was worth it. It was worth the sacrifice. So the question for us this morning is, what prices are we willing to pay so that our dear brothers and sisters who have no access to the gospel today can also get to hear the gospel? Christ died and He gave us this commission. We are not saved so we can enjoy fellowship alone, but we are saved so that we can also help others enjoy fellowship with Him, so that many others can also know, and many others can also worship Him. And I know today there is someone here God is calling. Calling to look beyond where you are right now. It's great and it's wonderful. Praise the Lord for the great work that each and every one of us is doing. But is God not calling us sometime? Maybe God is calling us, some of us today, to look a little bit further. To look a little bit further in that community where there is no one working, and you are willing to pay the price to go to those people so that they can also get to hear that Christ died for them. The fields are wide, brothers and sisters. They are wide. They are ready for the harvest. If we don't harvest them, what happens if you don't harvest? They will rot.
Yes.
And they will spoil.
Yes.
But God is calling us to go and harvest. Because when those brothers, when those men and women, our cousins who don't yet know Him, when they die without access to the gospel, it is finished. They are going to a Christless eternity, to a hopeless eternity. But we have this hope with us. And we can take this hope to them so that they can actually go out and hear it. And for us to be able to do this, we need to be able to step out with faith and in faith and trust God that He will provide. That He will provide. I've been doing this for 8 years and God has been faithful. Florence will come in. Are we willing to lay down our lives and say, God, I'm willing to trust You to provide for me? The Bible says that He owns a cattle in a thousand of hills.
Amen.
So He is not a lacking God. He's able to provide for us. And if God is calling you, don't overthink it. Will you step out and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. God is looking for a willing soul that is willing to lay down their lives for the gospel.